KAEZF on Stateline 1.
KASCA, Stateline 1 monitoring.
KEA, TBV Mobile monitoring, Stateline 1.
KE8MWN.
Hey Ben, how you doing? It's been a while.
I'm going decent. How you been? Definitely been a few months.
Yeah, I think I've been on event one, or, well, you did event one? Yeah, I've got it on statewide one right now. Is it still showing on statewide one?
It's showing statewide one now. It was weird when you were talking on that last one, it said event one on my screen. I was like, well, that's weird. He was just on statewide one.
Yeah, that's odd. I definitely didn't change the talk group. My radio sometimes shows people talking on event groups when I know they're actually talking on the statewide groups. I don't know if it's because I've got them on a receive group list. I don't remember what it's called. It's not a talk group list. It's when you can scan multiple talk groups that are on the same. I can't even remember the DMR terms, but I've seen it a couple times before.
Like talker alias or flexible receive list or something?
Yeah, it might be the receive list. That's how I use it when I'm roaming more so, because I'll have it set up to roam statewide one, but then it'll also monitor event one and three, and then when I'm roaming statewide two, it'll also monitor event two and four.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I got a regular scan list, but I've got my Motorola set up to where it'll roam if I get it out of range of the home site.
Are you talking on a handheld or a mobile?
I'm talking on my mobile in the shack right now. I've got a portable here too.
Very nice. I've got a mobile in the shack with the Samlex cabinet. I just got to order the power supply for it. And then I'm going to put my external antenna up at the house here before the winter. So I spend a little bit more time in the ham shack in the winter. So I'm just on the mobile, occasionally on a portable.
You ought to come by the shop and see me or Paul. I'm pretty sure we keep those power supplies in stock.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. I didn't remember that you were working at Anderson. How are you been liking it?
I'm liking it. Job's great. Not even like a job when you do what you love doing, you know?
Very true. What is your, what are you doing over there? Are you doing installs? Are you doing more systems or network management? What's your position over there?
I do some mobile installs. Sometimes I help the guy if it's a little slow that does the upfits. There's a lot of installs. I go out and help do some installs in vehicles, but I mostly install repeater systems and recorders, work on the P25 trunking system over at HSC and Dow Chemical, do a lot of that. Matter of fact, in the last, I think March we done a huge upgrade at HSC, and then Dow just had a big upgrade, so definitely stay busy.
Good. Good. Yeah, good to hear they're on a good, solid P25 system. They've got the money to shell it out for the system and all the radios, so that's good.
Yeah, we work on a lot of the elite dispatch and all that stuff at the EOC for the counties. We occasionally, when the state gets a lot of going on, we go out to the state sites too, so definitely never a dull moment.
Does Paul do the same stuff out there? I don't remember what his position is.
Yeah, we work on a lot of the same stuff. A lot of times me and him go to the jobs together, so a lot of times it's us working on stuff.
Very well. Well, if you guys ever get any XBR 8400s through the shop and UHF 1, or maybe even UHF 2, and they're in decent shape for a decent price, give me a shout. I'm not in a hurry to buy one, but I'd like to put something up at the cabin here, so I'd like to start piecing that together.
All right, yeah, I'll definitely keep you in mind and let you know.
I think I heard you talking on Statewide 2 a little bit before I got on the radio. Did you guys modify or put up a new site earlier today? Is that what you were talking about, or did I hear that wrong?
No, you heard it right. They just got... and running.
I'm not familiar where that's at. Whereabouts is that in relation to some other conference places?
It's just south of Mac City.
Okay, very well. Very well. Yeah, I'm hoping some more repeaters make their way population. Doesn't call it. I can see that subject filled in, but I know it's not as high of demand, so. But have you been having consumers and gravel trucks out by your lake recently, or is that traffic not flooding you too much?
I'm going down here because they turn off a night to get down to where they're doing it at, close to Jones and Botel, so it's the trucks themselves going in. And it tears the roads up so bad, that's all. They just fixed it from the last go-around.
Fix it this time? I wonder if they work that into their contract with the county or if they're just going to let that stay bumpy.
Yeah, I just had to turn the scan off here because I was on my portable talking to Jeff. He's doing some checks to see how the coverage is. But yeah, it's, I don't know, like I said, about, I think, two summers ago or around the fall, they finally fixed the road back up nice after it was tore up pretty bad, but I'm sure they'll fix it again, though.
Good. And they're doing all that for solar panels out there, aren't they?
Yeah, that's my understanding of it.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm not a huge solar fan when it comes to putting it in fields. I wouldn't mind seeing it on more commercial buildings on the roof and even some residential buildings, but I don't love it when it takes up a field.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it either. I'm a hardcore, you know, supporter of farmers. You can't eat solar panels and windmills, but you can certainly eat corn and the other things that they grow out there in the field.
Yeah, absolutely. I wish they would have put some money back into consumers and reordered that to open up. Or even done nuclear somewhere out here, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I was hoping they would have built a another gas, you know, generation plant there, you know, after they demolished. Some pretty bad voltage sags with this heat.
Yeah, I'm out in Monitor, and just this week I started getting some kind of almost brownout-like surges. I know it's not my house because I don't have an advantage door to my house. I've got to help people do electrical. But I don't know. They're definitely having a hard time meeting that.
Yeah, I don't normally pull a crazy amount myself. You know, I'm out here so close to the bay that... when it's a decent day and the wind's blowing, I'm normally a big fan of leaving the windows open to let it air out, but right now it's just way too hot to have them open.
No joke. That breeze off the water can be real nice, though, in the fall and in the spring. It can get a little chilly, but yeah, I do a little bit of hunting right on the bay right there at the end of your road once in a while in the fall, so I'll find it too. On my way to park down there.
Ah, okay. Yeah, it's, I normally can hear the hunters when they're out there, hoping everybody's, you know, filling all their tags. Last few years I've been hunting up at my father-in-law's in the UP. He's got 40 acres up there.
Oh, very nice. I didn't know that. I didn't know you were into the hunting as much, but how's it been up there in the UP? I hear there's quite a bit of an issue with the deer and the wolves.
Yeah, in 2014, you know, that really, really harsh winter, there was a lot of you know, little fellas that didn't make it. So it's, but it's been picking up a little bit, but I think. Good ones on the trail cams this last hunting season, but unfortunately none of them stepped out in front of me. So, but there's always next year, you know?
There's always next year, and half of going deer hunting is just going to deer camp anyway, so sometimes shooting the deer doesn't even matter as much as it does is getting out of the house and getting together with the guys.
You know, that's a very, very valid point. You know, it's not always really that heartbreaking if I don't get anything. It's still nice to be at deer camp. Oh, and I got some other news for you you'd probably enjoy. My son the other day enlisted in the Marine Corps, so he'll be about a month before he's got to go down and go to MEPS again so he can ship out for, I think he's going to Paris Island. Sounds like.
Well, very good. Very good. Congratulations to your son. Hopefully he's getting prepared for it. I'm sure he'll make it. It'll be good for him. So, that's good. That's good. Because you were in the Army, correct? And then he's going to do the Marine Corps?
Yeah, I was in the Army. My youngest, at the end of her junior year last year, she actually went to basic at Fort Sill. That's where I went. And now she's at Fort Leonard Wood for AIT now that she's graduated from high school. I actually, when I was in high school and was in the mall, back when the recruiting stations were, you know, in cool places, I went down to sign up for the Marine Corps. And since I was 17 and had to have my parents' signature, my mother said she was not signing for me to go in the Marine Corps, that I had to go in the Army or the Air Force, so I chose the Army.
Ah, very well. That's an interesting story. Yeah, I signed soon after, I think the spring after I turned 18, and then I had to wait to ship out until I got my braces taken off. So I was in the delayed entry program as well, but yeah. Wow, time flies, doesn't it? But no, good on you. You guys got the whole military family thing going on, so that's very cool that both the kids are in the military at the same time, and they're finally under a good chain of command, too.
100% agree with you there. Yeah, you know, I just, I never forced it on them or anything like that. You know, they're both good kids, you know, they don't get in trouble, they work, and so... But they made the decision all on their own, so, you know, I am definitely proud of both of them.
Yeah, no, that's a very good thing to be proud of the kids for sure. And not only did they get some good life experience out of it, you know, coming from a small town-ish base city, get thrown out into the wild a little bit, do a little bit of traveling away from that, and then it's a good stepping stone for when you get out of the military. It can give you some connections and help you land some jobs.
Yeah, I think one thing we still got going here in the U.S. is, you know, by and large, once you get that honorable discharge one day when you, you know, decide to hang it up, whether you ride it the whole time until you retire or whether you just do one contract and go home, you know, either way, it's a really favorable thing when you're out there job hunting when you get home.
Yeah, no, you're right. And that helps with some of the VA homework and help young guys out when they're trying to buy a house sometimes and some of the other benefits. But a lot of my peers are fighting right now to get their discharge changed to an honorable because a good 75% of my platoon was discharged other than honorable because we all put our foot down on the vaccine. I was lucky my end of service date was like 3 days before the cutoff, so I got out with an honorable. But 75% of my platoon was wiped out with an other than honorable, and I think they're fighting to get it changed to an honorable.
Well, I certainly hope they keep pushing until they get it the right way because, you know, it's just... I don't think it should have went like that.
Yeah, I think it'll go in the right direction. I think Pete Hegseth already made some comments about it, and I think they're just waiting on the VA to get it all squared away, because they've got some representatives at the VA that kind of advocate for that stuff. So it's interesting. It's a process, that's for sure. KE8PBB.
First station ID, this is KE8MWN.
Yeah, it's good. I'll be happy to hear that news once it finally comes for them guys, because, you know, they earn their honorable discharge.
Exactly, exactly. So what I'm going to want is your kids pick what job fields are they going into?
Well, my son chose infantry, and, I mean, everything revolves around infantry in the Marine Corps anyways, so, but he basically just chose straight infantry because he's colorblind, so he couldn't be a, airplane mechanic or a vehicle mechanic like he wanted to be with that issue. You know, I mean, everybody thinks, you know, working on vehicles is turning wrenches, but, you know, wires have color codes, so when you're messing with electrical stuff, you know, you can't be colorblind.
That is correct. Speaking from a colorblind infantry marine, so, yeah, lots of wiring diagrams. Actually, I wanted to be a Coast Guard pilot, helicopter pilot, but I got shot down for that because of a colorblindness, so... But I might as well try to get my private pilot license. There's a couple ways you can kind of get a doctor to sign off on a modified colorblindness test on the private pilot side. So we'll see about that. But yes, everything revolves around the 0311 and the Marine Corps. So it's a good choice. Then what about your daughter? What did she do in the military?
Yeah, she chose the VSC burn.
Man, that takes a different breed. I wasn't a huge fan of all the gassing we did, but it is effective, so, hey, if she enjoys that, that's cool then.
Well, the funny thing is when she went, you know, they were, in the modern day, you know, they post a lot of videos to the Facebook page, and, you know, if you're, had the recruit in there, you know, you were in the private Facebook page for that particular basic training course, or class, rather. So, you know, it was just memories, and I laughed when I seen them running out of the gas chamber, let's just say that.
Yeah, absolutely. Not a good time. That was the first experience I won't forget for sure. Now, speaking of military activity, there's quite a bit going on in Michigan right now on Southern Strike. They had some B-2 stealth bombers landing up in Oscoda. There's some Marine Corps helicopter activity over Lake Huron, and C-130s and all kinds of stuff flying around. It's lots of military activity in Michigan right now.
Yeah, I seen a lot when I was in Max City last Saturday. We were up to that site doing some work, and I texted one of the MPSCS guys who is also a ham up there and see what he was doing, and I didn't even realize it was Northern Strike until he had told me that, so... Yeah, good stuff. Have you ever seen my ADS-B receiver that I built?
I don't think so. Is that in Bay County?
Yeah. It's, the antenna's mounted on the peak of the... It's on the front of the garage, mounted there, but the antenna base is as high as the peak of the roof. That was pretty good. I have to text you the link to that individual radar so you can see it. I do pretty good. I'm in the top 500 ranking in the USA, and I'm in the, I think I'm about 27 or 2800 in the world.
That's pretty good. That's pretty impressive. I was considering adding one to my ham shack, and then I was also considering adding a link to monitor the MBS tower and ground and stuff like that on some of the live ATC websites, because there's no link to MBS. But, you know, with the president's coming in there, it's kind of fun to listen to it. So Salford just got a link, and so I wouldn't mind adding a link to the MBS tower frequencies and maybe the Oscoda area too, because we've got a place up there. But if you've got ADS-B covered in Bay County, I might just trying to do just the live ATC.
Yeah, when those planes are on approach into MBS, I usually get them down to about 450 feet, and that's where I lose them at. But that's pretty darn good, considering, you know, how many nautical miles that I am directly from the airport. I think it's still like 13 or 14 miles, and they're, you know, they're squawking on, you know, 1,090 megahertz.
Have you ever looked into doing the MLAT tracking? I know it's very similar to ADS-B, but I don't know if it's different receivers and different stuff like that. But sometimes I know that you can pick up some more aircraft on MLAT than you do ADS-B.
Yeah, so I'm doing both ADS-B and MLAT. The big thing with MLAT is I think you have to, if you're picking one up, I think you got to have three other receivers picking up the same plane as well to get an accurate position and data from it.
Oh, I mean, I guess that makes sense because it's, what, multiple lateration? I don't know what it stands for exactly, but that makes sense. Well, I'm probably viewed many of the planes because of your feet, because I check flight radar quite a bit.
Yeah, I built it out of a I-3D Plus with a SDR. I'm feeding Flight Radar 24, Flight Aware, and ADS-B Exchange all from the same feeder, so it's a whole lot different thing running all those Linux scripts and crap like that to make it all work, you know, with them three. You know, if you're only going to feed one, you know, you can just download a pre-built package and basically, you know, run the script and install it, and, you know, you can have it set up relatively quickly, but takes a little while to do it when you're doing the custom setups that I've got.
Well, half the fun is tinkering with it and getting it figured out, so that's good. I'll definitely get in touch with you if I throw the live ATC feed up. You know, that works out. If I do that, that won't be until probably December or January, though. That's when I start spending time on the basement after hunting season. So, but with that being said, I'm all the way up in Edenville now, and I'm about to hop out of the truck, so I'll let you go. But good talking with you. Good catching up with you, Ben. It's been a while. Congrats on both the kids popping into the military. And I'll catch you later on the radio. KE8-PVD, I'll be here again. Bye.
Alrighty. Yeah, it was definitely good talking with you, and the ATC feeds are pretty easy to do also with a word and a SBR dongle or two. But yeah, we'll get together, man. You take care and enjoy your time there, and catch you a little later on. This is KMWN.